that song a good reminder of the promise we have? I snapped a couple pictures of the words because I thought they were pretty powerful. Because I think, like, when we read that, where we were singing that part, you never made a promise you couldn't keep because you don't lie to me. He's a God of truth, right? And he's a God of his word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have promises in his word that he has given to us. And we know that we can stand on these promises because they're given to us. And it's his character to be truthful. He doesn't lie. And far too often, too many of us say stuff and we just say it in passing, and we don't understand the power of our word and the fact that it's not a, I hope he does this, I hope it's gonna rain, I hope I get paid next week. We know that we will prosper when we follow and live according to his word. We know that there are good things when we live according to his word, and when we stand and we declare and we walk in them. And then we keep singing there, and it says, I'm confident of this, that I will see your goodness in the land of living. Today, when I'm alive, I'm going to see your goodness still. I don't have to wait. This is like we spoke about not too long ago, about not having to experience the goodness of the kingdom when we die, but we can experience it today here on earth. We don't have to wait. Too many people are sitting there waiting, just holding on. When's Jesus coming back? Take me back, Jesus. You know, when am I going to die to go to glory? We can experience all the benefits of glory in heaven here today. And I think that's pretty amazing. It's pretty cool. That's my hillbilly talk. It's pretty awesome, though. And then the last picture I took was, it says, one thing will never change. My hope is in your name because you are living. We serve a living God. We don't serve some wooden statue. We don't serve some golden altar. We don't serve some cards or feathers or flowers or whatever. We serve a living God who does miracles in each and every one of our lives. When we look and we call upon him and we declare his promises, we serve a God who still does healings. We serve a God who still gives us prosperity and blessings. We serve a God who just pours out lavishly according to his word. Don't we? Yeah, we do. And I think it's amazing when we can stand there and when we can actually, you know, hindsight's this thing where we can look back and say, wow, I could really see where God was. But, you know, it's an amazing thing when we can speak prophetically into our lives and say, that's where God's showing up in my life. That's a pretty awesome thing to have. And not all believers get to experience and participate in that type of a thing because they make a choice not to. But we here, we get to, because we're a new covenant, new kingdom church. And we're new covenant believers. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are living. We thank you that you are a good God, and we can see good things in our lives. We don't have to wait till we die to experience the benefits of heaven, God, but we thank you, God, that we can experience them here today. Father, we thank you that we can ask for things according to your word, and we will receive. So, Father, today I pray that as we are here today, God, I pray that we can be an encouragement to each other. God, I praise you and thank you that we can be a blessing to each other. And God, I praise you and thank you that we can walk in the giftings that you have given us, these real life, tangible giftings, and we can be a blessing to each other in our community. I thank you, God, that we can speak prophetically over our lives, over our households, Father, and we can speak with authority. So God, we thank you. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. It's a cool week, right? You know why it's a cool week? Does anybody want to know? Anyone want to guess? Well, we have new air conditioning. Yes, it's almost fully finished. We have the air conditioning. We're fortunate it's not winter because they don't have the furnace sides all working yet. They have to finish the duct out, but that'll be done this week. But it's a cool week because, well, it's not really a cool week. It's a cool week coming up. But this is the last Sunday where we don't get coffee service. We don't have lattes this week, but next week we do. We don't have Italian sodas this week, but next week we do. And then, so that's the 11th, we're going to have that. Is that no? Am I wrong? I'm wrong. Sorry. I fooled you. We have one more week of this. But that's okay. The 11th, we're going to have coffee service. I'm mistaken. I thought we were already in July. You guys got me excited. It's so beautiful. It feels like July. So July 11th, we're having coffee service. We're having Italian sodas. We're having everything. And if I get woken up really early in my house, we'll even maybe have Slurpees. Maybe. But the week after that, we will for sure have Slurpees because we're having a barbecue here on the 18th of July. Okay? So we're going to talk about that over the next couple weeks, what to bring, what we're having, all that fun stuff. Sound like a good plan? I like that plan. I'm all for chicken wings. Okay, so the other thing is at the end of this service, when we're done speaking, we're going to actually be praying for Nathan and Mary and the farm because it's dry out there, right? And we are going to supernaturally agree together for supernatural moisture to hit their fields so that they can have a supernatural abundant crop this year. So lots of supernatural stuff happening on their farm. And your garden too. I don't have a garden this year. I'm summer following my garden. So we're in our series, Increasing and Succeeding. And we're talking about teacher this week. And where is your gift? And we're focusing specifically on this gift of teacher. And the church, according to the New Testament, the role of the church is to equip the saints for the work of your ministry, right? We go through this every week the past couple weeks. Not the work of my ministry, but the work of your ministry, the work that you have before you to do. Because every one of us is a minister of the gospel. And this ministry needs to go forth out into all the world. Everywhere we go, it needs to go forth. And we need to have people who are great at business, people who are influential in business matters, right? We need people who are influential in the medical profession, especially today with all the craziness in our world. We need to have people who are influential in politics, much like the medical industry. We need people, godly people, biblical-based, new covenant believers we need in politics today. Right? That's how we make change happen, is when we have godly people in places of influence. We need that. We need people, godly people, new covenant, even more than just godly, new covenant people in the arts, in education, in movies, in music. We need those. We need all of these areas of influence around us to be fulfilled, I guess not fulfilled, but filled with new covenant believers. And we need them to be gifted Christian leaders who are willing to walk in their gifts. And we need to do what Jesus said, occupy. Occupy until I come back. And we need to occupy. We can't just sit back on our butts and say, well, do something, God. I prayed about it. I prayed for the election. We'll see. God, have your will in the election. I prayed about it. Come on. We are called to action. Are we not? We're called to action. We're not called to sit on our butts and be lazy Christians. We're called to action. And it's like God is the director of our movie of our life, and he's there with, I don't know, that little snappy thing, and action! Get at it! Break! And we're called to action. We are called to do something. We're called to occupy ground, take up ground for the kingdom and walk in it. Walk in the blessings, walk in the things that are already ours. Amen? Let's start walking this, people. So we've talked about things like prophets, or we're going to talk about things like prophets and evangelists, but we talked about pastors, we've talked about What was the first week we talked about? Apostle, thank you. I didn't write it down. We've talked about pastors and apostles, and this week is teachers, and then we're going to talk about evangelists and prophets, and then we're going to start talking about some of these other giftings like leadership and administration and giving. Did you know giving was a gift? Giving is a gift that we have. Maybe your gift is in evangelism, working on whatever, roughest part, 118th or White Ave, or wherever you're working in Edmonton, or maybe you're working in 20th or 22nd in Saskatoon. Maybe that's your gift. You're called to outreach and evangelism there, to tell people about Jesus and love people. And maybe the other guy, his gift is to give you the money to do the work. Right? We all have giftings. There's gift of mercy and helps and craftsmanship. Maybe you're making a bed for widows. I don't know. Intercession, hospitality, exhortation, interpretation. These are all gifts we're going to talk about, with words of wisdom and knowledge, gifts of healings, and possibly others as we go on. We'll see how far this goes. But this is our summer series. And I want this summer series to be a season of growth of our gifts. We're preparing for a big outpouring come fall, aren't we? We're preparing to be able to go back to full-blown ministry outreach stuff that we do in our community, our single moms ministry, our parent and top play cafe, our whatever ministry is welling up inside of you that you're going to come talk to me about. That's what I'm expecting. So we've talked about apostleship, we talked about pastors, and now we're on to teachers. But we're going to read this verse that we've read every week for the past few weeks, and it says, "But to each of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." See, and I think I've said this, maybe I haven't, but we'll say it anyway. This isn't just a church of Dave where I'm going to do all the work, and I know some of you have given me grief and said, "Well, you don't have to do it all." Right, John? But we all feel at times like we need to do it all. We need, and at times, sometimes some of us need to throw it on our back and start lugging the process forward and start moving the process forward as the other people get the vision. But it's about us working together, advancing the kingdom together in our areas of gifting, in our areas of calling, in our areas of opportunity. Amen? We all have opportunity. We need to walk in those. And the gift of teacher is one of the five leadership gifts we just read about in Ephesians. And those that are called to these five-fold ministries are the ones that are more of the leadership-type roles, the equip the saints for the work of their ministry. Because all of these other goals are leadership goals, but they're not as necessarily as equipping, if you will. So what is a teacher? What is the role of a teacher? Believers who are gifted as teachers are given a divine insight and understanding of the truths of God and His Word. So if you're not gifted a teacher and you have somebody that's gifted as a teacher and the teacher is teaching as the Holy Spirit is revealed to him, sometimes it may differ from what you think. But we need to allow the teacher to teach according to God's Word and teach what the Holy Spirit has revealed from His Word. They have a unique ability to help others plainly understand even complicated spiritual concepts and truths. They bring clarity They don't bring confusion. Teachers don't bring confusion. I know some of us maybe have had an English teacher or a math teacher that brought some confusion, right? And sometimes it was the teacher, sometimes it was we weren't using our listening ears. Sometimes we need to use our listening ears and not put our mouth out there and start talking before we use our listening ears. I think that's an important thing. Sometimes we just need to ask for clarity. From the principal, I guess. From God, right? When the teacher teaches something, we need to sometimes ask for clarity from God, from the Holy Spirit, to clarify, bring clarity to a situation or what is being taught. See, the teacher can clearly explain this, can clearly understand because of their gifting, but also because of the time, their personal time in prayer, their personal time in the Word, their personal time with the Holy Spirit, asking for clarity, and because they have that unique gift, they're able to speak it in a qualified way. The teacher gains in their knowledge and grows in understanding and depth as they walk out what they learn. See, the teacher doesn't just teach, and like it's not like the teacher's going to be sitting there telling you how to achieve the gifts of the kingdom or how to be walking in blessings if they're sitting there broke on a corner begging for change. If you had somebody telling you how to do math and they don't know how to add 2 + 2, are you going to say, what are you talking about? You don't know. But if they're there and they're a mathematician and they understand how all the inner workings of calculus work, and they're sitting there and they're trying to explain to you stuff that they've already experienced, and they're telling you what Holy Spirit has revealed to them about how math works, boy, you can sure start understanding things better from them because they've got the experience of what Christ has done in their lives. Isn't that true? See, the teacher can provide that clarity. The teacher can provide the wisdom and the insight because they've walked it out in their lives. Such a critical piece. The teacher is anointed by God to teach and instruct others, other believers, as they walk out in their journey. Teachers have the special ability to communicate information from the Word that is relevant to the circumstances, the challenges, the health, the ministry of the body of its members. That's what the teacher does. They share in such a way that all types of people can learn and understand and grow and become more mature in their faith. That's what the teacher does. And a teacher is not a person who simply understands complex ideas, but a teacher has a divine gift of taking potentially complex ideas that might seem confusing, might seem like, what the heck, idea, and bring clarity to it as the Holy Spirit speaks to them and they can apply it from their lives. It's one of the things I love about some teachers. They have such a good way of doing this. See, a teacher is not a person who is condescending in that either. But they can speak clearly and uniquely in a way that is understanding. There's a difference between teaching and having the gift of a teacher as well. Okay? So just because you're teaching doesn't mean you have the gift of a teacher. You need to walk things out. See, the primary difference between teaching and teacher is the leadership component. It's the component that so many people miss. A teacher is trained or is the trainer and the equipper of the church as well as with other teaching gifts. A person with a gift of teaching is someone who walks faithfully in their teaching gift. And maybe you're saying today, well, I think that could be me. Like, I feel like I've got this. As I walk things out in my life, the Holy Spirit has revealed things that are unique. And maybe you're like, yeah, I think that could be me. I think I might have some teacher giftings that I want to grow and walk in that. Well, come and talk to me. I'd love to talk to you. We'd love to walk that out together. But if this is you, here's some things that you can lean into. You can lean into communicating God's word in a powerful yet practical way. As a teacher, you can lean into sharing your ability to challenge others to study and apply God's word. You know, I had a pastor once, and he had this unique ability, and I'm sure he wouldn't even consider himself a teacher in his role as pastor, but he had this unique ability to say stuff and cause you to lean in and spend time in the word, spend time in prayer, and just to understand what he is saying in his word in a real and unique way. The teacher, if you're a teacher or you feel like you are, you can lean into the sharing your desire for attention and detail and accuracy. Too many people just spout off stuff without getting into the detail and without being accurate. As a teacher, you need to be willing to take time to study the Word of God in order to be prepared to teach. As a teacher, you need to be disciplined. You need to be practical. You need to be analytical. You need to be articulate. And this is one of the most unique things that I think about the teacher. And you know what that is? You need to be teachable. Which is weird, right? The teacher's teachable. And it's for this reason. Because if you think, yeah, I'm a teacher, that's me. But you're so pig-headed, you can't see when the Holy Spirit or another teacher is trying to teach you a new concept. How do you continue to press in and learn? Right? Because that's what the teacher does. The teacher's teaching from their personal experience, from the things that the Holy Spirit has taught them as they've walked and journeyed through life. That's why it's such an important piece. I never thought about that before until I was really studying Scripture, thinking about this, looking at the idea of teacher. And I was like, that doesn't make sense, teachable. But when you really think about it and spend time, it is so true. You need to be teachable to be a teacher. You need to be not pig-headed and stubborn. You need to be willing to listen and study yourself. Some things to stay away from as the teacher. You ready for these? If you're a teacher or feel like you're a teacher, you can't let pride sneak through your knowledge of the Bible. That's a smack in the face for some teachers. The next one, don't get bogged down with all the itty-bitty details and miss the application that you're actually trying to teach about or learn about. Details are important, but don't let them get you caught up in the weeds, as we say, right? If you get caught up in the weeds and you miss the application, you miss the clarity, you miss the whole point. The third thing to stay away from if you're a teacher is don't forget that your spiritual maturity is not measured by how much you know. Your spiritual maturity, because I've heard so many very intelligent biblical people that knew all this stuff way more than me. But boy, they were really spiritually immature. Because they knew that. They had this head knowledge, but they didn't have this depth to their belief. Do you know what I mean? You can have all the head knowledge in the world. You can know all this stuff, but it's useless if you have no spiritual depth. We need spiritual depth in our life, because when you are teaching, you need to be teaching from the Spirit, right? You know, I'm going to get in trouble for this, not from you guys. You guys will probably agree with me. I think one of the unique things I have here is I'm not overly biblical educated. I haven't done my whole Bible school, right? So I'm not caught up in the whole intellectual side. I'm not here going for my master's of divinity. I'm here with you guys, journeying through His Word, growing together, and not thinking, well, I'm going to teach these peasants something this week. It's not that at all. Like, you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean, though? Like, I say that with all, yeah, I think you know what I mean. But that, I think that's one of my unique characteristics being here as your pastor is, I'll never say I've got my doctorate of theology and you're going to listen to what I have to say.
because I am always right, and you are always wrong.
That's not what it's about, right? And when I make a mistake, or if I'm incorrect on something, and the Holy Spirit reveals it, or somebody comes to me, and then I spend time in His Word and try to understand and figure it out, I believe that's a teachable moment. And I want to grow with you guys. I want to grow myself. I want to develop my wisdom and my knowledge so that I can help equip you guys in a new and real way. The last thing I want to encourage you, if this is you, to stay away from is don't forget to have things that are between you and God too, for your growth time. I don't have to teach everything. I don't use my family and my interactions as every sermon illustration. You get about 40% of them. You get the funny ones. But you don't use every interaction between you and God as a teachable moment, because sometimes those moments are for you, not for everyone. I think being a teacher within the church is a hugely important piece. All five of those are. But the teacher is a hugely important piece. And it's a piece that we need in all aspects, whether it be with our kids, whether it be with people that just come in our door, whether it be with people that are here on a regular Sunday. We need teachers within the church for multiple roles. And we all have an opportunity, I believe, to be a teacher in some way. And it's up to us to be teachable in order so that we can be teachers. Not all of us have that gift of teacher. I use that voice but you know what I mean? We all have an opportunity to be a teacher. We can all teach, we can all share, we can all love, we can all share our experiences, but we need to be walking in this divine life that He has called us to be walking in. We need to be walking in the promises in order so that we have some teachable things we can share. I think it's a great opportunity for us as we grow to teach. There's a saying, and I think it's more of a joke, a tongue-in-cheek thing, but I don't know, so I'm just going to tell you it's so wrong before I say it. But it's that saying, those that can't do, teach. Right? So wrong. So wrong. If you can't do faith, how do you teach faith? If you can't walk out the promises of God in your life, how do you teach the promises? How do you teach, actually, even further than that, teach promises? How do you walk out the promises in your life? And how do you teach Christianity if you can't walk out the promises in your life? If you don't grasp things of faith, how do you talk about faith? You need to grasp it. You need to experience it in your life. When you experience it, it's alive and it's real to you, isn't it? And that's why I love sharing stories. And it's when I share stories about my life and things that have happened, it's not to say, look at me. I'm not going to pat that shoulder. Look at me. Look at the good things that I did. You guys suck because you're doing it wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, guys, I know this works. This principle works because this is what I've seen in my life. This is what Christ has done in me. This is what Christ has done in our household. This is what Christ has done with our finances. It's all these things. And when I can experience this, I can teach it because I know that it's true. It's something I have tangible understanding about. It's like gravity. If I'm floating out in space and I'm like, yeah, you should try out gravity sometime. Why? You've never experienced it. But we've experienced it. And when we experience it, you want to share it. Right? Just like when you have experienced the life that Christ has given you. Boy, do you want to share it. Now I'm rambling, so I'm just going to close in prayer. But as we close, I'm going to actually ask Nathan and Mary just to stand up where they're at. And I would like if you guys, Nathan and Mary need some rain. They need some moisture on their crops. And this is their living. And what I'd ask you to do is if you want to stand with them and agree with them, stand up and let's just face them. We're going to pray for them. But, this is a big but. If you don't believe with your whole heart in this, if you don't stand on this, you don't believe, and nobody's judging, okay? Just sit down. We want to believe with our whole heart. We don't want any doubt behind this. And I know that if maybe that's offensive to you, but I know this is a critical piece of our faith when we pray, is we need to believe with our whole heart, our whole being. Because right now we're praying for supernatural moisture. This isn't for the faint of heart. We're praying for even more than supernatural moisture. Even without moisture, we're praying for supernatural moisture. We're just praying because we're praying for supernatural abundant crops. Aren't we? So would you guys join us in prayer as we pray for Nathan and Mary and their farm? Father God, right now we come before you and we thank you, Father, that you are the giver of rain. Father God, we thank you that you are the giver of moisture. You are the giver of abundance. And Father, right now we declare abundance over Nathan and Mary's farm right now in Jesus' name. Father God, we praise you and thank you for the moisture that is welling up from beneath the clay, coming up to surface to moisten those roots, Father, to allow those plants to fully grow, mature, and create good seed and pods or whatever they need to produce, Father. We thank you right now in Jesus' name for supernatural moisture from below. And God, we thank you for the rain that they're not even calling for, but we know is going to fall on his fields in Jesus' name. Father God, we believe with every piece, every cell in our body, and know that it is done. So God, we thank you for the prosperity. We thank you for the blessings that you have poured forth on the Cowan household, Father. God, we pray that as they prepare for the harvest that's coming, that they will have time to get renewed and refreshed, Father, and get ready to work. So God, we thank you for that fresh rain that is going to fall on their fields in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you that this rain is going to be right on time. People are saying it's too late, but we know it is on your time and it is right on time. So Jesus, we thank you for the rain. God, we thank you for the rain. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for the wisdom to speak and know the words to say. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are walking with Nathan and Mary, Father, that they will not falter. They will not look to either side and say, where's the rain? But they will know it is there and it is coming. So God, we thank you for them. Father, we thank you for their farm and we thank you for the opportunities you give them to give to others. God, we thank you for the blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Now, we are going to close in prayer after. We're praying already for rain, aren't we? So we're going to pray for something else. If we got business owners, let's pray for them while we're here. Pray for the rain on the business owners. Stand up if you're a business owner. And stand up also. I'm going to see. Stand up also if you have a need in your house. We're going to pray for that too. So if anybody has a need in their house, any need, we're going to pray. So God, right now, you know the needs here, Father. We pray, Father, as the government has tried to do things to squash out businesses, Father. God, we pray right now for these businesses that are represented in our room, Father, that are represented online. Father, we pray blessings, God. We pray abundance. We pray superfluous customers, patients, whatever it is, God. We pray that there will be an abundance of patients and customers coming through the door, that they have to wait and be lined up to come in. Father, that they will just flood these people's stores and places of business right now in Jesus' name, that they will be ready on Monday morning to work. God, we thank you for that. And Father, for those that have a specific need, Father, in their household and their families, God, right now, we lift up those specific needs. And for you, those of you that are standing, you don't have to say it out loud for others to hear. Just vocalize it in your heart. Because God knows what that need is. So God, right now, this need that these people are vocalizing, Father, whether it be health, finances, Father, relationships, whatever it is, God, we pray right now for family, wholeness, God. We pray right now in Jesus' name that we will believe and we will see it in Jesus' name, that we will step out the steps that you've called us to do. And Father, I pray right now that if there's any doubt or confusion or concern, God, that you would squash that right now in Jesus' name. Father, that we would be a people that walk in your authority, that we would be a people that would stand on your promises. Father, we would be a people that walk in health and in blessing, in wholeness, in ourselves and in our family, God. Father, for those, for the kids, our teenagers that are represented in this church, Father, for our students that are in university, God, right now, Father, we pray that as their season of school is done for this year, Father, that as they prepare for the fall season, God, that they would be preparing with you, that they would be walking out the summer days and enjoying the weather with you, Father, that they would be growing in you. Even if they don't fully know and understand you, God, that they would take steps to do that. God, that you would impact each of them and each of us in a real way. Father, we know our kids need it. And God, I pray that we would be examples for our children and students. And God, I pray that you would touch them. Allow us to be teachers to them, God. And Father, I pray that we would teach them boldness. We would teach them faith. And we would teach them the things of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you, we love you, we honor you. God, thank you for this great Sunday morning together. God, we thank you that we're preparing, Father, for coffee in a couple weeks, and we're preparing for a beautiful barbecue the week after that. God, we are so excited to gather together and do the things as we want to do, Father, and celebrate time with each other. So God, we praise you and thank you. God, bless us with a beautiful week, God, as we celebrate Canada Day and this beautiful land you have given us, God. I praise you and thank you. Jesus, go with us. Give us opportunities to touch others in a real way. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless and have a great week. You guys can stay standing as we sing a couple more songs in closing. If you need prayer, come on up and we'd love to pray for you.